So good morning, everyone. Thank you for attending. So our topic is a unified data center and the integration we do into the Microsoft environment in general. That's a lot of material, by the way, so we cannot really discover everything here in detail. So the idea is to give you an overview of what we are doing. And then, of course, we have a booth, which you can visit, where we can show you more details. So we have demo equipment, we have access to the labs where we can show all the integration if you need to have more details. So what we will cover is the integration into the System Center environments, the UCS integration or the Unified Data Center integration into the System Center environment. Then we will also cover a topic which is called InterCloud, how you actually can cloud burst your workloads, your VMs into a cloud, while still retaining the network connectivity. That's probably one of the biggest problems you have. And we will also see something about Nexus 1000V, about network integration within the Hyper-V environments. The last two topics are a little bit more in detail. The first topics, again, should be more a pointer of what we have. Again, visit our booth. We have our contest here where you can win a Surface tablet, and we also have T-shirts to give away. A lot of T-shirts, by the way, so feel free to actually join us at our booth. So let's start with the overview. Again, a unified data center. I don't know whether you know or knew that Cisco is doing servers, actually. We do that since about 5 years. It's not only servers, it's also the whole network equipment around you that you need to build a data center. In general, there is a notion that the best data center is the one that you never feel, actually. I think that's a myth anyway, so you'll never go and have a data center that is fully automated and you never feel that it really exists, except you put everything into the cloud and someone else is managing the data center for you. But that's the idea behind what we did in the technology area to actually drive those data centers. So we think every cycle that you actually, free up to manage your infrastructure can be used somewhere else in the data center, for example, to push your innovation, your software management, and so on. So what we really try in the end, we try to make it simpler for you. In the context of System Center and Windows and Microsoft environments, that means that we combine these two technologies, the software technology from Microsoft with our infrastructure technology, and we do this an integration so that it should be really easy to get all these new attributes that everyone is seeking for in the data center. So having a better performance, simplified infrastructure, agile data centers, and so on. That's the basic idea behind the whole thing that we do here. So we dive a little bit deeper. So I don't know whether you know Cisco UCS already. So yeah, maybe I can ask. It's not too many attendees here. So have you heard about Cisco UCS? Already use it?
We use it.
We use it? Okay. So maybe I tell something that you already know here, but we still go through it. We are, again, on the market with this technology about 4.5 to 5 years now. And we have quite good success with it. So we have about or over 35,000 customers. We are number one in blade server market in the US since a couple of months now. We are trying to do the same thing in Europe, in Switzerland especially also. We are one of the top five server makers now. And you see, that's really a great success that we have. We are almost everywhere in the Fortune 500. We cover 75% of them with our technology. So really, really good success that we had. So the question is, how did we achieve that in the end? How were we able to actually capture the market? And I think we have a different approach to this compute technologies or compared to the compute technologies that are available in the market since years. And again, one of the main things or the main ideas we had was we need to make it simpler for you to operate the infrastructure. And the approach we had is actually we build a single system, a single management point for as many servers as you need to drive your workloads in the end for your enterprises. So we have a single system approach. We integrated networking, we integrated management, we integrated the server pieces, and of course we used industry standard technology, x86 technology, and you always see the Intel logo. So we're mainly based on Intel technology, which is, I think, the best on the market currently for these kind of workloads in the end. Again, integrated system, embedded management. So if you build up a domain, a UCS domain, there is everything included. So you have management included. You have a unified fabric that allows the computers, the servers to talk, fiber channel, Ethernet networks, and so on. And it's all managed from a single point of management, and it scales up to 160 blades. And then, of course, you know that, then you need a second domain. But for normal scale, this is more than enough in the end. So that's the basic approach that we have. A little bit more details about the whole thing. So we did a lot of invention in terms of how you manage your server landscape. One of the things we did is stateless computing. You use this kind of blueprints where you define how a server should look like, how many interfaces it should have, what the BIOS settings should be, and so on, how the RAID level should be on the servers. This is all captured in so-called service profile. And the server itself, the bare metal, is absolutely stateless. So you define offline more or less the blueprint how the server should look like. Then you assign it to a server, and the server then assumes the state that you have given with your declaration how the server should look like in the end. This makes you quite flexible. It also allows you to really standardize your environment, because if you operate with service profiles and templates, then a server always looks the same for each and every property that you set on it. Even on the firmware levels, they always look the same. And I think standardization is one of the most important steps towards automatization and cloud in the end. So it's a really important step to have this kind of centralized management of your infrastructure in the end. The stateless computing has some more aspects to it, which allows you to think differently in terms of availability and so on. Again, if you have a service profile that exactly declares how a server should look like, that goes into details like having, like what MAC addresses, like which worldwide numbers, which UUIDs are actually used on that platform, and you assign that to hardware, then of course you can also think about what if a server dies in the end? Because if a server dies and you have stateless computing, as we did it with UCS, then you are able to move around this state to another physical box in the end, and it allows you totally different thinking in terms of what do you do if something fails, what do you do with HA, with high availability, with disaster recovery in the end. And in the newest software levels, we are even we have even the possibility to move these service profiles from one data center to another data center. So in theory, we would be able to move this service profile, this server state, from I don't know, from Asia to North America, and have exactly the same identity running in North America. Then, if you have the data there, of course, that's another topic not covered by this system here. So it allows you to really think differently in the end. In terms of the boxes, the service itself, we have different types. So we claim to run application at every scale today. So of course we have the UCS technology traditional combined from the fabric interconnect that runs the management, you know that already, and the service that are put within a chassis. But we are also capable of running a rack mount servers under the control of UCS manager, under the control of the fabric interconnects, exactly the same as we do with the blade servers. So you are even able to move this service profile, these blueprints from a blade to a rack mount server and back. And of course, they assume exactly the same state. They have centralized management. We have centralized firmware management. That's the traditional enterprise computing that we cover with different form factors. What we had introduced recently was UCS Mini. UCS Mini actually gets rid of the external fabric interconnect. So what we did is the fabric interconnect, the central logic, is now put directly into the chassis. So you have a smaller installation for small scale offices or remote branch offices, for example, that you can use with exactly the same technology features and attributes. So an installation for smaller things. And then we also introduced technology for modular, for as we call it, cloud scale compute. So smaller server, kind of a micro server approach that is also centrally controlled by the UCS manager and the fabric interconnects. Then we also, of course, have the standalones, and this distinction is important because I think we have people that are running standard rack server, rack mount server without connection to a fabric interconnect, and that's possible, of course. And the question is then, how do we manage it? And we will see that we have solutions for that also, especially built into the Microsoft ecosystem, so that you'll be able to run UCSM managed, so UCS manager managed equipment exactly the same, or more or less exactly the same as standalone rack servers. That's one thing. And another innovation that we do is we have storage elements, is also part of the rack mount servers, which so we call it the dense storage server, which allows you to build up storage. So you can put up to 56 3.5-inch drives from the top into that server, goes up to 240 terabyte currently. And you can, for example, combine this technology together with the Microsoft software stack using the storage spaces and emit storage from this device to the fabric, to the blades, which are running Hyper-V, and your VMs then will be on SMB3 that actually run on storage or hosted on these boxes. So we have really a whole ecosystem that you could use to drive your virtualized applications in the end. Everything, again, is managed from UCS Manager. You know that already. UCS Manager is an integral part of the domain, so it runs on the fabric interconnects. Nothing new for you, of course. But again, that's a differentiator also, because you don't need to build up separate infrastructure just to be able to actually control and manage your physical boxes or your servers in the end, and the network. It's really part of the solution that you get with UCS Manager, again, running in the top of racks here in the fabric interconnects. And one more thing is important to mention, especially if we integrate with our partner software stacks, like the whole system center, as we will see afterwards, we have one single API to the whole infrastructure that we have discussed just now. And this single interface, the XML API, actually is used by all the integration parties. Not only used by third-party integration and automation, it's also used by our own software, by our own GUI, for example. So you have really one single interface layer, stable, defined, documented, that you can use to integrate third-party applications and automate the whole infrastructure beneath it. And again, it's not only server, it's also the network that connects the server. So it's a quite powerful mechanism to bring in automation to the UCS platform. So, simple and powerful integration, and of course we have discussed it already, it all starts with the XML API, because if you don't have an API that covers every aspect of the hardware platform, you are not be able to simply integrate to automation or management tools. That's simply not possible then. So we use that technology that we have built, we use the foundation that we have done to basically integrate with the Microsoft environment in the end. And we do that on different levels. On UCS Manager, on the UCS domain in the end, these are the different areas that we cover with these integrations that we do. So you see we have integration in Operations Manager using a management pack. The secret sauce is that the management pack uses the XML API to directly talk to the UCS Manager and is able to get everything it needs to get. So we will see what that means in the end. Then we have the integration pack for the orchestrator. Again, that's a thing with that has something to do with the XML API. So the System Center orchestrator can directly access the UCS manager, not using the native XML interface for those who do the automation. They, of course, use pre-built workflows in the end to actually fire off these automations against the UCS manager. And then we have the configuration manager that we have integrated using, again, an integration pack. And of course, we also integrate with Hyper-V, with the virtual machine manager. And again, this is done using the same UCS technology and the interfaces. On the side, you see the Power Tool Kit. That's a PowerShell instrumentation of the XML interface. It's about 1,500 to 1,600 commandlets, just to give you a few of the power you have in there, the possibilities you have, so where you can really programmatically change or extract each and every attribute from a UCS platform, again, which is servers, firmware levels, network connections, and so on. So each and every detail is covered here by this tool set. And then we have changed to the C-Series. Again, C-Series servers can be standalone also. A use case would be a really small branch office that only needs a single server, or, I don't know, a location where you technically bring together data from sensors, where you consolidate that data and move it up to the data center later on, which doesn't need really a lot of processing power, but it needs a server somehow. And this server then, this single server, is probably not managed by UCS Manager. It makes no sense to bring up Fabric Interconnects there. But you still have the possibility to integrate it into the environment, into the software and management environment of Microsoft, into System Center, and you see the stack that we have built up here. By the way, these standalone servers, they also have an XML interface. They have a management controller, the IMC, the integrated management controller that runs on the server. And on top of that, you have an XML interface. It's not quite that capable as the one of UCS Manager, but still there is a shim layer that allows you to program against it. And we use that layer to actually build up this kind of infrastructure. So you still have connections to operations managers, to SCOM, which allows you to have a look into the hardware state, have a look into the logs, also do some reports and so on, and do some automation. And in the end, you have a single tool, SCOM, that is able to actually show you the state of hardware from UCS Manager, but also from the standalone service, exactly the same. Then, of course, you have the integration pack for the configuration manager also on that level, and you have the orchestration integration so that you'll be able to actually also automate this rack mount service. Everything, every integration, whether it be an integration pack or other integrations, are available on our developer website. Everything is for free. So you just download it and use it. There is no license tied to it. By the way, we also have a download of a UCS emulator. So if you want to have a UCS manager to develop against it without using the productive system, then this is possible. You just load UCS emulator on a VM, maybe on your laptop or on a server that you have available for these kind of things, and then you'll be able to develop or automate using all these integrations against the emulation. And if you feel that is stable now, I can put it into production, then you move it over to the production, to the real system in the end. Makes you sure that nothing goes wrong. And again, that's simply something unique that nobody else has, an emulation of your whole computer network infrastructure that you can program against it. We look a little bit more into what these integrations do. Again, not really in detail. If you have or if you want to see more, then again, visit our booth. We can show you that on a lab in detail, what it means. Again, the operations manager, just as an example, integrate a different views of UCS. So you have a physical views where you see whether components are good, healthy, or not healthy, and what the problems are. You have logical views, the service profiles. You'll be able to generate reports. So you have quite detailed explanations or detailed data available within SCOM if it is connected to the UCS manager, to the fabrics. But you have similar possibilities if you connect to C-Series servers directly without having the UCS manager. So again, this brings everything, every type of compute under the same management umbrella. So again, makes it easy for you to see, to have a general overview. The orchestrator comes with pre-built packs or workflows that allows you to see what you exactly need to do for certain things. For example, there are simple workflows that allows you to create service profile from templates and so on. You to boot C-Series servers up on a network interface to reinstall them, for example. So there are pre-built automation workflows that allows you, or runbooks as they are called here, that allows you to see how you actually can craft this kind of automation. And again, that's true for UCS manager connections, but also for direct bare metal connections onto the C-Series servers. Again, it allows you to manage both flavors seamlessly in the end and control your environment. That's a couple of examples here. Again, you know System Center Orchestrator and the workflow types you have, and you see simple workflows to, for example, create a service profile from a template, to back up a UCS configuration, decommission a blade, and so on. So it's really a simple plug-and-play thing to automate your physical infrastructure using SCO, the System Center Orchestrator, whether it is a UCS manager-driven environment or an IMC-driven environment, it remains exactly the same. The SCVMM, the System Center Virtual Machine Manager, gives you out of the manager a physical view. So if you look at the hypervisors here, then you not only have the logical view of the system and the VMs that run underneath it, you also directly get the physical information of the UCS domain that actually physically runs the hypervisor in the end. It also allows you to launch KVMs against the machines. It allows you to power on, power off the machines, and so on. So the most important operations can be done directly from this plugin in SCVMM. But you can also cross-launch the UCS manager from here so that you get direct access to the details of the hardware platform. And what you also have, which is also quite important, the central view summary of the alerts, for example, so that you really see whether your environment is healthy or whether something is going wrong currently and what you need to do against it in the end. SCCM, the configuration manager, another topic. How do you actually guarantee that your software is in a state where you want to have it? How do you configure or automate installation in your environments? Again, there's an integration against UCS Manager, but not only against UCS Manager, you can also use bare metal C-Series service using the IMC interface to do so. There is help, for example, injecting the drivers of UCS, the Cisco WIC adapter drivers, into the boot images so that everything gets simpler and easier to use for you in the end and bring up your automated installs. Again, across the whole series of UCS server technology in the end. Power tool, one word, I already mentioned that one. That's also the base for all the other implementations and instrumentations and automations in the end. Power tool is the one that enables us from a Microsoft perspective to talk to a UCS environment. Again, it's about 1500 to 1600 commandlets. You can really automate each and every aspect here. We are not the only one that do these kind of instrumentations. There are others on the market like NetApp, for example, EMC that instrument their hardware environments using Power Tool, and of course the whole software stack of management, they also use PowerShell. So it's an ideal platform to bring together everything in the end and automate it on a single platform. Again, it's very powerful, so you can do really everything on the UCS platforms, but also on the other platforms that are used in the data center, storage platforms or network platforms to automate the whole things. The whole thing is, of course, also true for the rack mount server, as already mentioned. What else do we do to make life simpler by integrating UCS technology into a Microsoft landscape or Microsoft environment? We also help you with so-called Cisco validated designs. So we do designs on how you build up certain applications, the typical ones, you know them better than me, the Exchange Service, SharePoint, SQL, and so on, how you build up these environments so that they best fit into the software stack that is running on top of it. These are extensively documented, you know, white papers where you really find ideas. You don't have to stick really step by step to it in the end, but it's a good source of knowledge in the end. If you have a question, if you are in the process of bringing up these kind of installation and there are open questions usually, then you can refer back to these documentations and find out what is best practices in the end by doing these kind of installations. So it really helps to make you sure or to assure you that you're doing the right thing when you engineer this kind of software stacks on top of a UCS stack. We also do that with the integrated solution, including hardware. I don't know whether you have heard about the fast track solution. So we do that with the EMC coupling. So we call it VSPECs, for example. And we do that also with the NetApp coupling, which is a flex pod in the end. Again, a detailed description of best practices, how you build up these stacks. So these stacks may actually contain storage. They contain UCS server equipment. They contain maybe switching equipment for network, but also for SAN, depends on the size, of course, that you do. And they also contain, of course, the software stacks that are running on top and all the best practices, how you build up these kind of things so that, so again, that you can be assured that you are doing the right thing and that it sticks to somehow best practices that we give out. And of course, that we also have learned the hard way how to do things that it runs stable over time in the end. Questions so far? Again, very quick. If you need more information, we can give that all at our booth. If there are no questions, I pass over to Peter, and we will go into the networking integration part and into the intercloud part. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Markus. Okay, my name is Peter Ledrach. We are teammates, actually, working for the DC team at Cisco. I would like to give you a quick introduction into a networking topic. UCS is hardware, but Microsoft is better known for software, so we also have software solutions. And I would like, in the next few minutes... Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong presentation. I have to switch presentation. Okay. This one? Yep, that looks better. So, sorry for that. I would like to give you in the first half a quick introduction into Nexus 1KV, Nexus 1000V, I call it Nexus 1K to make it shorter. And it's a solution which also is certified in a Hyper-V host by Microsoft. So this is really a piece of software, nothing to do with hardware. And I would like to show the benefits you have when you use Nexus 1KV instead of the native or in addition to the native logical switch. And then if we have enough time, I will give a brief introduction into InterCloud, what InterCloud solution from Cisco is. To make it short, it's our answer to hybrid cloud. But I'm not sure if we run out of time here because we started a little bit late. Otherwise, if you're interested, please visit our booth and we can look into this in a personal talk if you're interested. Well, first, Nexus 1KV. As you probably are aware, if you use a hypervisor, then you need also a virtual switch because that virtual switch allows you or allows the virtual machines in the same physical host to communicate with each other without leaving the physical host. Microsoft has implemented the logical switch in Hyper-V, obviously, and they built a few extensions to it. To capture traffic or to filter traffic or to connect to some other device. And we actually, with the Nexus 1K, we fit into the forwarding extension. We plug in there. So all the traffic that goes east-west between VMs or north-south to the outside world goes through that virtual switch and ends in the Nexus 1KV. So it's part of the path, the switching path. Now, if you could use other extensions with third-party tools as well, it would still work, so no limitations there. Now, you may ask, okay, you have another virtual switch, why should I use it? And that's probably the most important question. I'll try to answer that with this slide. Not all of that may fit to your environment, but I think these are the most important reasons why users would use the Nexus 1KV instead of the native logical switch or in addition to the native logical switch. And I will show an example at the end of the presentation where that has been used. First of all, separation of duties. Networking is getting more complex. We have overlay networks. You're probably aware of NVGRE, or on the competitor side, it's called VXLAN. And so a server administrator does not necessarily want to know all about networking, about security, quality of service, and so on. It's getting complex there, and he's probably not the best person to implement that in a Windows Server 2012. So it would be nice if network administrator could basically have its own interface and configure all of these things, VLANs, IP pools, and so on. And then the server administrator could just pull these pre-configured things and use it to connect their VMs and hosts. Same thing with security. Security is getting complex. Firewall rules and so on is probably not the strongest knowledge of a server administrator, and it's getting more complex. So also there, separation of duties would be nice to have. Another important point, so Nexus 1K gives answers to this separation of duties. I will show an example then. Then consistency across physical and virtual networking infrastructure. In today's data centers, Cisco is well on the way, and you find a lot of Nexus, physical Nexus switches in the data centers. We have Nexus 5000, 6000, 7000, and subversions, and Nexus 9000 now. And the wish from a networking guy is to have the same operating system in the Hyper-V host. So Nexus 1K works with Nexus OS as well. And it gives transparency. So the network does not end anymore on the physical host boundaries, but actually on the VM boundaries inside the host. So we need visibility into the host, and we need the same tools that we use outside to troubleshoot networking issues, to know what is going on, how good is traffic flowing. We have tools like NetFlow, Extended Remote Span, and others that we can use now with Nexus 1K, the same way we use it for physical routers and switches. So the visibility, then also consistency across hypervisors. Nexus 1KV is not only there for Hyper-V, but we have it for vSphere, for on the VMware side, we have it for Citrix, and we have it for Red Hat. So if an enterprise uses various hypervisors, then it's nice to have one single type of logical switch or virtual switch. Services insertion via vPoth. vPoth is a part of the Nexus 1K, which allows us to add virtual services to a packet flow. Virtual services, as an example, could be a virtual router. You know, we are used to the physical world. We have physical routers, physical firewall, physical whatever, load balancers. This is all available now in a virtual form. Think about the VM. A VM could be a virtual router. Another VM could be a virtual load balancer. Another VM could be a virtual wide area application service appliance. So this is all available in a virtual form. And with vPoth and Nexus 1K, you can basically chain these services together and in any order and get the services you need for a specific packet flow or of a specific virtual machine. And last but not least, the same that Marcus mentioned, we have Cisco validated designs available, so you're not left alone with configuration examples and how you could set that up. For VDI, as example, or payment card industry compliance setups, and so on. So that's there. So how is the architecture made up of a Nexus 1KV? It's very much similar to a modular switch. A modular switch has two supervisor modules, an active and a standby, and then it has line cards. So the line cards build the data plane. Here we talk about the control plane. And the same thing applies to Nexus 1K. We have two VSMs in active standby mode. You will probably put them on different physical hosts. These are VMs. And they build the control plane of that virtual switch. And then we have the virtual Ethernet modules, which map to the line cards in a modular switch. And they're all controlled by the VSM. So the VEMs alone, the virtual Ethernet modules alone, they don't do anything if they have not been configured by the VSM before. So switching is done down here, and this is the control plane. And you can spread that across many Hyper-V hosts. So here I would like to show how this separation of duties could work. You have a network admin. He dials into the Nexus 1 KV, and he can basically create all these networking entities that you need in a Windows Server 2012 environment. He creates things like logical networks, network sites, IP pools, virtual machine networks, and port classifications, things that then will automatically be synchronized to SCVMM. So the pull-down menus in SCVMM will be pre-populated, and the server admin who dials into SCVMM does not have to create IP pools, IP addresses first for his virtual machines that he wants to use, but he just basically uses what's already there because the network admin has configured that and it was automatically exported to the SCVMM tool. Also, Nexus 1 KV, I said, it's a control plane, sends the relevant information, interface configuration, and so on, to the virtual Ethernet modules, which are part of the Hyper-V host. And not only to this host, but to all other hosts that he's in control of. Here you see how this could look like, this interface on a virtual supervisor module on a Nexus 1 KV. We have to configure logical networks, network sites, virtual machine networks. If you are familiar with Hyper-V and Microsoft Windows Server, these are the terms they use there. We use slightly different terms. For instance, a virtual machine network in an Nexus 1 case called a network segment. But these network segments, as you can see here with the different colors, they are backed by VLANs. In this version, we only support VLANs. In the future, we also support the overlay networks that we with this version cannot do, but in the future we will. NVGRE based overlay networks can be backed by a VM network. So if you then go to the SCVMM, just to show this again, there in the SCVMM you can just populate or select from the pull down the correct name, which you probably got by the network administrator, and you then select the correct classification. A classification is called a port profile in an Nexus 1K, and there all these policies can be applied to, like security policies, quality of service policies, monitoring stuff. All that is basically apply to a classification, but it's not you as a server admin who have to take care of this and how it's exactly defined, but it's defined by the networking admin. Now, in addition to this, I already mentioned it, we have a vPath feature in the Nexus 1K. Here you see the whole ecosystem. The vPath feature is basically an sort of an extension, the same way the logical switch has extensions. We have an extension called vPath, and here we can insert these virtual services if we need. And the way how this works, I would like to show in an example. We have a client that wants to connect to a VM. This is actually what we support today, but we will support more virtual services and be on par in terms of services we support with the VMware virtual services, what we support there. Currently, it's the Virtual Security Gateway. In the future, it will be other stuff like virtual routers, virtual load balancer, and so on. The VSG is a east-west firewall, we call it sometimes, a layer 1-4 firewall, and it allows to separate the three-tier application shown here in different colors, which consists of many VMs, which could be in the same VLAN, in the same subnet, but it allows to further separate the access between the different colors and to control who is allowed to talk to which application or web server or database server. So this guy wants to connect to a VM in the purple section. So the initial packet flow then gets rerouted through this VPath to the virtual security gateway. He says it's okay, and the packet flow then ends at the destination he wants to go. With the rest, actually the decision is cached in the Nexus 1K V, so next time this client wants to talk to that VM, the remaining packets do not have to go through the virtual service, but they can directly go be switched by the Nexus 1K. This is how the technology that we use. And now I would like to give you an example where you can use this or where it's used. A customer, a large retailer in North America, he has the requirement or had the requirement that he need to scale up to more than 1,000 branch offices, all retail stores. Another requirement was that it had to be PCI compliant. That means payment card industry security standard compliant, because you pay in the retail store typically with a credit card, so you have to follow the requirements there to be compliant. So I quickly click through the picture. So here you see the components. In a retail store, you have Hyper-V hosts, one, many, I don't know. And each Hyper-V host has a Nexus 1K virtual Ethernet module. Then you have, they had one centralized large data center where all the, I think it were, it's 1,600 stores meanwhile, where all this is put together, and that's the central data center. And here you see there is SCVMM running to control the Hyper-V hosts in the branches. Then there is the VSMs running active standby to control the virtual Ethernet modules. And there is a virtual security gateway, which is connected through VPath, chained to the packet flows to further separate the VMs. These virtual security gateways are controlled by or programmed by the Prime Network Services Controller. And the Prime Network Services Controller, that's a Cisco tool to control the firewalls, the VSGs, and to program them very easily via graphical tools. And PNSC, Prime Network Services Controller from Cisco, also communicates with SCVMM and with VSM. So with this architecture, even if a WAN link goes down, the security is still there. That was one of the prerequisites. If you lose connectivity to the centralized data center, you still need to be in a secure environment. If you want to know more about Nexus 1KV, I think I would go there first. Go to cisco.com, go 1000V. And Hyper-V, and then you're directly in the Hyper-V section of Nexus 1K. So I think I have a few minutes left to give a very brief introduction into Cisco Intercloud Fabric. By the way, do you have, was this more or less clear? is any question right now? Okay, thanks. So Intercloud Fabric. We are talking here about hybrid cloud. Hybrid cloud, as you may know, is when you bind a private cloud with a public cloud, then it's commonly known as a private cloud. And when you have plans to create a hybrid cloud or to connect your enterprise into a public cloud, you will have to answer a lot of questions before you do that. First of all, which provider should I take? What is available? Portability of workloads, does this work? How does it work? What about security? What about control? I have to delegate control to the cloud provider to a certain degree, or do I have full control? Am I compliant? And so on. And Cisco answer to these questions is basically InterCloud. InterCloud is our answer to hybrid cloud, and InterCloud allows to, or is an enabler for our customers and our providers as well as our cloud provider partners as well to the enterprises to create such hybrid clouds and consequently consume these cloud services that may be out there. This is a growing, yesterday we had our partner day in Lucerne, Cisco partner day, where we invited all our partners in Switzerland. And this is really a massively growing area. So in the future, we will see much more cloud providers, and you will see enterprises much more. Actually, they haven't even started. Some have started, some other haven't yet, but more enterprises will start to consume services from the cloud. Therefore, InterCloud is really a solution, an answer from our side, which should enable this for our partners and as well for our customers. So the components, basically three components, a portal where you control your VMs and where you define where should my VMs run, should it be in the enterprise cloud or should it be in the public cloud. Then you have an InterCloud fabric, which is also responsible to make secure connectivity possible, secure migration of traffic of VMs, and then the APIs, which are obviously necessary in a highly heterogeneous world. The reason to do public clouds or some use cases to use InterCloud solution from Cisco are, there are many reasons to do that. You might think about a disaster recovery project where you want to have your recovery environment in a cloud, in a public cloud, or you would probably want to burst your peak loads, your compute resources burst into a cloud to design or your own data center with an average workload, and then you can burst into a cloud, in a public cloud, for the peaks. What is very important again is control. You don't want to delegate control. You as an enterprise want to stay in control of your applications, where they run, the network policies that are assigned to them, and also the security policies that are assigned to these applications. So you don't want to offload a control. Development and test, I have an example here. That could be another use case where online gaming company, they decided to basically develop and test in the provider cloud somewhere, on-demand creation of the VMs, and once the test is done, they would like to promote it back to their own data center and run their game, their online game, in their own private cloud. They also might create other development and test environments in another cloud and move the workloads and the VMs back and forth based on SLAs, based on availability. They could choose any cloud that they want. So what is really key to this, that you have a central tool where you can control what's going on in this hybrid cloud. So the hybrid cloud, I think of the hybrid cloud as a converged public and public cloud, private and public cloud. So it's actually a new cloud, which is a converged cloud, a hybrid cloud. And you want to be able to full control that converged cloud. So we have a tool called Intercloud Fabric Director. From here, you can easily control where a VM is created, in which hypervisor, could be Hyper-V. You could control, it should be created here, it should be controlled in, it should be created in the public cloud. But you could also control from here to define which VM should be migrated to which cloud. So there's an example here. The IT admin decides that he wants to move a VM from the internet, from the private cloud to the provider cloud. First, the VM is automatically shut down. An intercloud driver is associated or inserted into that VM. And then the VM is converted into the format of the public cloud, because the public cloud might be VHDX files, Windows Azure, might be Amazon Cloud, virtual machine image. So there may be different formats running over here, so you need to convert the format of the virtual machine in order to be able to reboot it then at the other end. And as you can see, there are also there's a router and a firewall involved here, and they are automatically controlled by the Intercloud Fabric Director, so that when the VM is starting up, that VM that has been moved has the same security attached to it as if it was locally, and it has the same networking profile attached to it as if it was locally. So it still can connect to all the resources over here. So the last slide is really the hybrid cloud differentiator. Our solution, Intercloud, as you can see here. And the nice thing is you are not bound on the customer side to any hypervisor. You can actually use whatever hypervisor you have or what combination of hypervisors we are open. And then, in addition, you have the choice to choose the best cloud provider that suits your needs the best. So this is a journey we are on. We currently support VMware environments, but we have been told a few weeks ago when we heard a presentation from the business unit that we will get integration into SCVMM with the Intercloud solution. And we will also support, currently we support Windows 2008 R2, but in the next version we will support Windows 2012 R2, and we support already Red Hat Linux and others. But we are on the way to make this a reality, that it's open. It's basically more and more providers, cloud providers, will be included. And then it's really a reality to have a free choice and to be open. If you need looking for resources here, that's the, again, cisco.com/go/intercloud, and then you find all the latest and greatest about this solution. With that, I would like to conclude this session, or do you want to?
No.
Do you have slides?
Any questions?
Yeah.
If not, thank you for attending.
Thank you very much.
Don't forget to meet at the booth.